Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dr. Reddy's Q4 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Reddy's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended 31st March 2019. Earlier during the day, we had released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. This call is being recorded, and the transcript shall be made available on our website soon. All the discussion and analysis of this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Mr. G.V. Prasad, our Co-Chairman and CEO, Mr. Hitesh Israeli, our COO, Mr. Saumin Chakrabarty, our CFO, Mr. Anil Nambudiripad, who heads the proprietary products business, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is a copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlets without the company's express written consent. Before I proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor language contained in today's press release also pertains to this conference call. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. G.V. Prasad. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. Greetings to all, and thank you for joining us today for the earnings call. The fiscal year 2019 has been a year of turnaround for the company, with growth of 92% in profit and earnings per share. The EBITDA margin improved from 17% in FY18 to 22% in this fiscal year. The free cash flow also improved from 605 crores to 2,162 crores in the current year. In February 2019, we received the much-awaited EIR on the Duvada injectable formulation facility from the U.S. FDA, indicating closure of the inspection with the classification under VAI status. We continue to work towards the resolution of the warning letter for the API site at Srikakulam, which is known as CTO6 internally, and are hopeful of a positive outcome of this in the near term. Quality has always been an area of priority for the company and will continue to remain so. During the year, we revamped our strategy and realigned it to focus on six chosen segments to drive the future growth of the company. We also made some key changes in the leadership team, and we now have a very strong team in place to drive the growth for each of the key segments. We also took some meaningful steps towards optimizing our global cost structures and also divested some non-core assets to strengthen the foundations for the long-term sustainability of the organization. Going forward, the key priorities include ensuring market-leading performance in each of our chosen six spaces, and we will also continue the focus of developing high-impact products in the proprietary products business and also build a healthy pipeline of biosimilar products for the global markets while building a self-sustaining business model for each of these businesses. In order to achieve our strategic objectives, we will actively pursue inorganic opportunities to augment the organic growth, ensuring value creation for our shareholders. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Saumin to take you through the financials and the highlights of the quarter.
Thank you, Prasad. Greetings to everyone. I'm pleased to inform that in the current financial year, we have grown well in the revenue, PBT, and other key financial metrics such as EBITDA margin, free cash flow generation, and net debt position after a decline seen in the last few years. Let me take you through the key financial highlights for the quarter and FY19. For this section, all the amounts are translated into US dollar at the convenient translation rate of rupees 69.16, which is the rate as of 29th March 2019. Consolidated revenues for the quarter are rupees 4,017 crores, that is $581 million, and grew 14% year on year and 4% on a sequential quarter basis. The current quarter includes an amount of rupees 181 crores pertaining to the sale of US rights for PP Derma products. Adjusted for this, the revenue grew by 9% year on year and is flat sequentially. The year-on-year growth in revenue has been supported by improvement in the base business volumes, new product launches, favorable forex, and scale-up in new markets. The revenues for the financial year 2019 are at rupees 15,385 crores, that is $2.22 billion, and grew by 8%. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 52.4%, with a sequential quarter decline of 150 basis points. The margins for this quarter were impacted by A, adverse forex rate in quarter 4 as compared to previous quarter, B, change in the business mix with a decrease in the contribution from global generics and a corresponding increase in the contribution from PSAI, C, higher manufacturing overheads due to certain one-time charges, and D, an impact related to overhead charge on the carrying value of inventory. The decline was partially offset by the benefit to the gross margin arising out of sale of PP Derma brands. While the movement in gross margin arising out of forex rate fluctuation may continue, we believe that gross margin would improve in subsequent quarters. Gross margin for global generics and PSAI were at 56% and 21% respectively. Gross margin for entire FY19 has been 54.2% against 53.7% in FY18, improving by 50 basis points. The SG&A spend for the quarter is rupees 1,238 crores, that is $179 million, with a growth of 3% both year-on-year and sequential quarter basis. The SG&A spend for the year is rupees 4,889 crores and has grown by 4%. The SG&A cost percentage to sales declined from 33% in FY18 to 31.8% in FY19 due to the cost optimization measures taken by us. R&D spend for the quarter is rupees 366 crores, that is $53 million, and is at 9.1% of the sales for the quarter. The R&D spend is lower by 16% year on year and is flat on a sequential quarter basis. The R&D spend for FY19 is rupees 1,561 crores, that is $226 million, as against $264 million in FY18. We expect that the overall R&D for FY20 would be in the range of $250 to $300 million. Other income includes rupees 16 crores of profit on sale of intangible assets pertaining to PP Derma brand after adjusting the associated cost. The EBIT for the quarter is rupees 882 crores, that is $128 million, which is around 22% of the revenue. The EBITDA percentage for the full year has been 22.2%, which is an improvement of 520 basis points over FY18. The effective tax rate for the quarter is 25.8% and for the full year is 16.3%. We expect that the ETR would be around 20% to 22% for the next year. EPS for the quarter is rupees 26.16, and for the full year is rupees 113.09. Operating working capital increased during the quarter by around 373 crores of rupees, which is $54 million. The increase is primarily attributable to an increase in receivables and reduction in payables. However, the net working capital days has improved over last quarter. We invested rupees 176 crores, which is $25 million, towards capital investment in this quarter. The free cash flow generated during this quarter was rupees 452 crores, which is $65 million. Our net debt to equity ratio has improved further and is at 0.09 as on 31st March 2019. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 12 months in the form of derivatives for US dollar are approximately $325 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 70 to rupees 74.35 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $363 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of 1,800 million rubles at the rate of rupees 1.066 to the ruble maturing over next 12 months. With this, I now request Iraj to take through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to all. I am glad to inform that we concluded financial year 2019 with a good quarter and overall good performance for the full year. The key highlights for the Q4 includes A, relaunch of Jisoo Boxon, B, clearance of Dubada Plants FT079, C, divestments of PP Derma commercial products, and D, continued growth momentum in emerging markets. The key highlights for full year 19 includes strong cash flow generations leading to a decline in net debt to equity ratio to 9%, cost optimization and productivity improvement measures taken by the company to respond to the changing dynamics of the generic pharma industry, and going higher than the overall market in India, leading to an improvement in the market rank by 3 positions. We also have strong growth in emerging markets, including our major markets, Russia and China, successful completion of the various audits conducted by USFDA and other regulatory agencies, and improvement in the overall supply situation leading to a reduction in the failure to supply claims and to be ready for responding to market needs as and when opportunities play out. Let me take you through the key highlights across our businesses. Please note that all references to numbers in these sessions are in the respective local currencies. The North America generics revenue are at $213 million with a sequential growth of 2%. During this quarter, we saw pricing to be much more stable than in the last few quarters. We are pleased with the increase in the launch momentum since January 2019, having launched 7 new products till date, including some interesting limited competition products like daptomycin, propofol injectable, and testosterone gel. We are actively partnering with our customers to ramp up these launches as we realize the contribution in quarters to come. In FY20, we expect to launch more than 30 products. We continue to work with the agency to secure the approvals for the scheduled launches, including Genovaring, and monetize this asset during the course of the year. As it relates to Gicopaxone, we recently received additional queries from the agency, and we are in the process of assessing the requirements and the potential timelines of response. This product continues to remain an exciting pipeline opportunity for us. Earlier this week, we obtained favorable ruling in the litigation for our esomeprazole / naproxen product, generic version of Vimovo. The appeals court has issued a decision in favor of us, reversing the district court order on the 907 and 285 patents. We are pleased with the decisions, we are evaluating all options with respect to this product while awaiting the issuance of the mandate from the court. The Euro business recorded sales of 24 million euros, with a year-on-year growth of 10%. Like the U.S. market, we also had a busy launch quarter with 6 launches in Germany, 4 in the U.K., 2 in France. Continuing on these new launch instructions, we expect sustained improvement in the overall performance for the business going forward. The emerging markets business recorded sales of 701 crore rupees, with a year-on-year growth of 27%. However, a sequential decline of 9% due to a seasonal demand patterns. The growth was driven by scale-up in new markets, new product launches, and improvement in the base business. Russia business grew 49% year-on-year in constant currency on a relative low base of last year. We remain confident of sustaining strong growth in emerging markets going forward. India business recorded sales of 650 crore rupees with a year-on-year growth of 6% and a sequential seasonal decline of 4%. As per the secondary sales report by IQVIA, what used to be IMS, the business registered a growth of 11.3% against a total market growth of 10.5% for the year, ended March 2019. As a consensus, we also significantly improved our market ranking from 16 to 13 in the most recent 12 months. We will continue our efforts to consistently improve and grow in this market. The PSAI business revenue are at $96 million. Our efforts are directed toward improving the supplies and building healthy order book. During the quarter, we launched our advanced B2B customer service portal Exceed, which will increase the operational efficiency in the way of dealing with our partners. On the R&D front, our key pipeline programs are on track. During this quarter, we filed 10 ANDAs in the U.S. market. As of the 31st of March 2019, we have 110 cumulative filings pending for approval with the U.S. FDA, including 107 ANDAs and 3 NDAs. During the quarter, we filed 29 DMFs globally, including 4 drug master files for the United States. On our proprietary products business, we have divested our in-market derma brands to Encore Dermatology. This is in line with our previously stated strategy to divest non-core assets and focus on developing high-value, meaningfully differentiated products while achieving self-sustainability for our R&D model. Preparations are underway to ensure successful launch of our recently approved neurology brands, Tosimra. On R&D front, DFD 29 low-dose minocycline and XP2389 have both successfully completed phase 2B studies, and initial data looks very encouraging. Development on E-Cos7 for CTCL in the U.S. is on track, as well as we expect to file the BLA by Q1 FY21. While I feel quite satisfied with the turnaround in the performance we achieved during the financial year 2019, there is still a lot of work to be done to ensure a strong foundation for long-term sustainable growth. Our priorities for FY20 includes A, resolutions of the warning letter at CTO6, B, achieving market-leading growth for each of our businesses, C, ensuring that each business operates and grows on a self-sustainable basis, D, building a healthy pipeline of products for all markets, including differentiated products, E, driving innovation-led business model for sustainable growth, and F, continue on of our journey of improvement in cost structure. I am excited with the opportunities we have and the growth possibilities from here on. I now open the floor for questions and answers.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Also, we'd like to inform participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, you may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and good evening to all. So first question is on the accounting on, you know, recognition of sale of assets under the proprietary product revenue line item. Just trying to understand how this happens and does it flow entirely just a reconfirmation from gross margin to EBITDA margin, and the net gain that you mentioned is on the other income, which is 16 crores. If you could reconfirm that.
Yes. This is our all assets we have self-generated. It's not an acquired asset. That's why it, when we sell, this will come under revenue. And out of another two assets, we acquired earlier, and whatever is on the profit, we have put it as another income.
Okay. And so as R&D is already done in-house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the
breakup of 181 crores and 16 crores, which is separately mentioned.
Yeah.
181 crores for revenue and 16 as other income.
Okay, understood. And secondly, on the R&D side, if you could give some outlook, how would be the, you know, the run rate in fiscal 20 and 21, and some update on the NuvaRing as well as the biosimilar and Xenopod pipeline, please?
So overall R&D spend, I already mentioned that it should be in the range of $250 to $300 million. And I will ask Iris to respond on NuvaRing.
So NuvaRing, we are on track. We don't have a new information. We continue to engage the agency, and we hope to launch this product in next coming months. As related for the overall R&D, this will continue to be our bread and butter and the way for us to grow. And overall, we are, as Shomen mentioned the numbers, we will absolutely, now that we made the R&D organization more efficient and we could handle more products with less cost, we want to continue this line of productivity to increase the R&D in order to ensure more products and more differentiated products.
Is Anil on the call?
Yeah.
Talk about XP.
Yes. Yeah. So your question regarding XP23829, we are quite excited with a successful phase 2B study that was completed for this asset. We will be shortly announcing the key results. We are still in the process of analyzing the data. But the headline data looks quite impressive.
Okay. And any timelines when we could finish the clinicals, full clinical trials, and ready to file?
We are still in planning phase. We will have to go to the FDA and seek their guidance on the path forward.
Perfect. And last one for Erase on the Celgene, on the Revlimid product, is there any update? We already settled in the Canada?
So we have settled the Canada, and it was mentioned in our press release. Yes.
And for US, I wanted some update on the US. Where are we placed?
On the US, we continue the legal proceeding.
Okay. I have more question. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. So from your opening commentary, it seems that there are some bit of one-offs in gross margin. Could you provide some, could you quantify that number, please?
As I said, there are four factors which has pulled down and one factor which has pulled up. The one factor which has pulled up is sale out of the PP Derma brand, and the four factors which has pulled it down, of course, the Forex is one. Compared to the previous quarter, this quarter, the US dollar INR conversion rate was lesser, and the business exchange which has been there, if the pie of PSA increased, that pulls down the overall gross margin. As we increase the sales in global generics, that will get corrected. But the two specific one-time thing, which is on the higher manufacturing overheads, and one-time charge, you know, could arise out of, you know, some rejection of batch or some specific, you know, write-offs which happen. And there is also, you know, inventory that we carried for launches in FY20. So related to that, there will be, you know, overhead charge. So these are the factors we contributed to, you know, bringing it down.
I understand that. So then could you quantify the one-time, you know, impact? What would be the number for that?
So as I was saying, you know, that we expect the gross margin would improve. So normally, I mean, as I told earlier also that our business model is such that we expect the gross margin to be north of 50%, but basically it fluctuates between, say, 53 and 56, except for some specific quarters, this quarter one, where it has been outside that range. But hopefully we can get back to that range so that we give an indication the impact of one-time events.
Understood, sir. And second, we acquired an injectable portfolio in the last quarter. In the U.S., it seems like a small, you know, asset. You know, what's the thought process in terms of growing that, you know, and how can we leverage it, you know, in the U.S. or outside?
This portfolio, the intent is to take transfer it to our facilities or partners' facilities. In some of the products, we may need to do some complementary analysis in order to scale up those products, and of course those products to launch in the course of the next coming years.
And we see the revenue potential as being significantly higher than you know, the current share.
Some of these products are very, very interesting and can be very, let's say, nice addition to our portfolio.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Swami sir, this question, this one of charges and gross margin, which segment it would have impacted?
It would have impacted.
Global generics or
it impacted both.
But
there are specific one-time hit in PSAI, again related to, you know, some specific rejections and all. But there is also hit in global generics. And that's why the gross margin of both, it stood at 56 and 21% respectively, which is lower than expected.
And just to
PSAI, we can deliver much better gross margin.
Just to get the quantum, would you call it sub 50 crore kind of hit or more than 50 crore kind of hit?
So we do not get into that specific. I have given you, you know, broad idea that what will be the normal fluctuation we should be accustomed to in terms of the gross margin, and to whatever extent this one time has hit this specific quarter, we hope the next quarter we should recover.
Sure. Thanks. Second question was on the R&D mention, which you mentioned about $250 to $300 million. Roughly, how much will be the prop spend out of that? Spend on the proprietary product.
Proprietary products, we will continue to focus on R&D for some interesting, you know, pipeline that Anil has been specifically thinking about. But on an overall basis, the R&D spend will be lower in property product segment compared to previous year. But to the percentage-wise, I mean, spend on biosimilars as well as on global generics outside even, you know, North America, because we have been also developing products for various other markets, including China. So this will get distributed to various things. But as it is alluded that we are seeing good improvement in R&D productivity, so we would like to focus on it as a lever for growth for future.
So just one clarity. So we are starting the clinicals of rituximab as well. Is that the reason a good part of the delta coming from there? If prop is going down and we are at least talking about 50, $60 million higher spend next year.
So this could be one of the reasons.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
The other reasons will come that we will develop more products and for more markets. So absolutely, we want to continue to invest in R&D. As we can grow the business, we will have the relevant portion to invest, reinvest in the business, and especially in R&D.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Batra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to have a sense, one specific product, that Propofol, what could be, you have already launched that. Do you see this as an kind of important product for FY20?
It is a nice product. We like it.
But do you see that money-making in that product is a possibility? Because it seems a very commoditized product. And seems that, okay, the penetration is very low there.
Yeah. Surya, so this product is a very interesting product. There is only Fresenius controlling basically most of the market share at present. So as of now, the contribution is very low. But this is going to increase, and FY20 definitely it will be a meaningful product, and it will be a product which will be there for long term because it's a very different nature of product. It will be a very good product.
Okay. And even on the China strategy, can you just, you have already indicated that is in kind of bigger opportunity area going ahead. So what initiative that you have seen, and what potential that you are witnessing, and on the earning potential front or the earning efficiency front relating to China, if you can add something.
So as we discussed in previous meetings and also in the recent conferences, China is an important space for us. And we see a major opportunity in China as China opened up, especially with the changes of regulations to the kind of products in terms of quality and cost effective that we can bring to China. We identify 70 products that from our U.S. portfolio that meets those requirements, and we can potentially can obtain in the next coming years, GEA status for them. This is a very big opportunity for us, as this is significantly higher number than what we have today in China. We are leveraging the fact that we are already 20 years in China, and actually as a foreign a company, we never left China. So we do have management, we do have operations, manufacturing site, we do have salespeople, we do have regulatory people, and we can work either with our JV partner on those relevant TAs or with other partners. What we do now is that we are both submitting the products that are ready to be submitted and working on biostudies for those that requires local biostudy. We are upgrading our teams in China. And we are also going to build a new plant very close to the current plant that we have in Kunshan. So overall, very exciting opportunities. We do not share guidance and future numbers, but it should be significantly bigger than what we have today.
Okay, just on the pricing, how it should be different compared to a market like U.S.?
Today's China system is different than the U.S. To sell in China, one needs to go from hospital to hospital and to get the buy-in of both physicians and the hospital management for that specific product. When you have a GEA, you can compete on the slot of the innovator in the formulary of the hospital. This is a big advantage. This is until recently was only the domain of the innovators and the, of the product. Now the generics with the GE mechanism can compete on that slot. Long term, China may change their business model to, in some places, may go to tenders, and we are building ourselves also for these scenarios, and if and when it will come, we'll be ready for it.
Okay. And can you just talk about something on the suboxone penetration front? It is in, I think, relatively below to our expectations.
Can I request the number of questions to be laid from one?
Sure, sir. This is the last question.
Because that will give opportunity to everyone.
Yeah, I will answer the Suboxone. Indeed, when we launched Suboxone, we launched with four other players, so plus the level of conversion initially between the innovator and the generics were less than one was anticipated by our customers. Having said that, we do see it changing, and we do see it picking up. So overall, we believe that Suboxone is a very, very nice asset for us, even if it's in the beginning there was some slow uptake because of a level of conversions from the innovator to the generics.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Manchanda from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. With regard to your generic Plavix approval in China, could you share some insights as to how many other players are there marketing a generic version there?
I don't recall the number of players for this specific product, but it is a unique asset, and this is a quite a big molecule. And we waited a long time for the approval of this molecule because naturally when we submitted it, the CFDA was under different structure and resources. This is a very, very nice product for our Chinese market.
Okay. So there are generic players already selling it, but it is still a very large opportunity.
To the best of my knowledge, there are generic players. I'm not aware of their number.
Okay. And just on DFN-02, if you could talk about how is the initial response and has that been launched?
Yeah, no, I can take that question. DFN-02 or Tosimra, which is its brand name, we are still in preparation for launch. We expect to launch the asset in the second quarter. All preparations are ongoing. The pre-launch activities indicate that there is quite a bit of receptivity to the product, and we are quite optimistic of its success in the market.
And if you could share on Zenovo, which has been out-licensed to Denderma, are there any developments there?
That is a question that basically Galderma is in the process of finalizing its strategy for this class of assets. That's all we know at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Good evening. Question on Novaring, is there any pending query from FDA and any change to our earlier guidance of first half this fiscal launch?
There are no specific queries and we did not get formal queries from the FDA. So in that respect, there is no changes. As we indicated some of the calls, one of the golden days was April and the second with the approval is August, so we expect we are still within this timeline that we discussed. So if it will go to August, it will be probably for the second half of the fiscal, but we are still between the same golden dates as we discussed last time.
Okay. And for Copaxone, I know you touched upon it, but is there a major CRL? Are the queries quite onerous? Or, and also earlier guidance of second half this fiscal launch, do you think there could be change to that?
We do need to do some experiments in order to answer it. It's going to probably delay us by a few months.
But quite unlikely of a launch in FY19, FY20.
Okay. And just one final question from my side. For Duvada non-onco block, has FDA inspected that one?
It's imminent. They are coming soon.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first one is on SG&A. I think we have seen good progress from a reduction perspective. Just doing the numbers on the full year, it is about 32% or so. And your press release also talks about continued cost optimization. Can you just walk us through what can happen in fiscal 20 that will further kind of keep this cost line capped?
We will continue to focus on costs like we did this year. Most of the cost initiatives will be less on the SG&A and more on the operation on the cost of goods. But absolutely, we are going to contain the SG&A as well. In certain areas in the market that we are planning to grow, especially the branded, we expect the sales and marketing to grow, but less than the sales will grow, which means that we are planning to increase the profit.
So productivity we want to improve.
So there is an assumption, does it mean that the investments for many of these markets are all kind of done and then we're just now, it's a ramp up in the sales part that's going to kick in?
No, but we are continuing to focus on new markets in emerging markets. So
there will be leverage.
Yeah, there will be a leverage.
So it's a combination of new products and the new brands plus leverage. Overall, we are going to increase the productivity of sales and marketing. We are also getting better in that, and we are improving our capabilities of both branding and sales and sales force effectiveness. There are quite of interesting projects that are running out to continue to improve the efficiency of our S&M.
Yeah, just to see whether you could quantify it, do you think another 100 bps is possible, or you'd stop shy of giving us any specific guidance on how low?
We don't give financial guidance. We can only give a directional statement. So directionally, we will keep on improving the productivity. Directionally, we hope to grow in different businesses and different segments. But we cannot keep specific guidance.
Thank you. And my second question and last question is on CTO6. So what needs to be done now to kind of get the warning letter resolved? Can you share any timelines that we can actually see this remediation come through?
Sure. So in the last, naturally, since we got the warnings until now, and especially in the last 12 months, we exchanged a lot of information with the FDA that were required to pass activities, pass out of spec and investigations that were needed for that plant. We provided all of this information and we continue to answer queries to the FDA. We are going to meet the FDA soon and to see if there are further requirements or we are ready to go. We should expect re-inspection of that plant before approval, and this should be very soon.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Thakkar from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so on the India piece, how do you see the business shaping up in coming years? And is there any kind of vision that you envisage in this business?
India is a very, very important market for us. And we are absolutely going to invest in this business, and we see ourselves going forward as one of the leaders in India. And we are planning to, in India, we want to do a few things. First, to excel in what we do, leveraging our brand, and by enhancing the brands that we have and launching new brands. Number two, this is a market that we will pursue if we can, and if possible, inorganic moves. And number three, this is the place we will drive a new business models and innovation. For us, India is very, very important market. We are excited about this market and its opportunity, especially its size and the fact that this is a market that continues to grow in double digits, at least the recent numbers showing that, and maybe in the future in high single digit. We are extremely excited about it.
Okay. And to achieve your vision, you feel there's you need to hire more MRs as such, or the current product basket is good enough?
We can increase the MR, but we need to increase the business more than we are increasing the SMM. So we are going to grow, and we are going also to grow our productivity. So we want to obtain more rupees out of the spend that we have.
Okay, thanks. Next question is on the U.S. market. So, you know, all this while you have been talking about the Novarings and Suboxones. So, but this apart from this big size product opportunities, how do you see the U.S. market panning out in terms of, say, are there any interesting opportunities from the 20 plus launches that you are guiding for?
We guided 30 plus, not 20 plus, and it was in my my script. And I believe that these are very exciting. This should be a very exciting year for the U.S. market, as we did not launch that many products in previous years. Also, the fact that the, what we see that the prices relatively moderated down. We believe that the new products launches and the uptake of what we launched since November will create a growth in the United States.
Okay. Last question, if I may, on Revlimid for the U.S. markets, if you could help us know when is the next trial date?
So we are still in the proceeding. We are not discussing specific details on that proceeding.
Okay. No issues. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Maeda from HDFC Life. Please go ahead. We seem to have lost the line for Hitesh. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Vincent Leonardo from CHR. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Actually, my question have already been asked by the previous person. It's about the generic Copaxone. So kind of you guys are thinking of potentially not unlikely to launch this year and most likely in FY20?
FY20 is this financial year, so more likely it will be FY21.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The question was on the India business. In the second half this year, our growth has been 8%. Can you just call out some reasons? Yes, maybe higher than market a little bit, but it's not what you expect from India. What's happening for our portfolio in general? 8% is not what we build in models going forward for the company.
I don't know what is the building model. The India business is going nicely. And some of the products are seasonal, and normally the third quarter is higher than the fourth quarter in the case of the India business. And so we are actually very happy with the performance of the Indian team.
Okay. Just one question on the China market. So when do we see, do we expect you to file some of these oncology injectables by end of this calendar year? Or they may spill to next year. When do we see the filings happening?
The filing is happening as we speak, and for the next 3 to 4 years, some of the products are ready to be filed because all the relevant R&D and regulatory process were done, and some will require bio-study, and some will require production by the relevant oncology plant in China, and those products, it will take time.
So have we filed some oncology injectables so far?
We filed products in China, and we are filing as we speak.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Question on, once we start or we already started the monetization of Suboxone, and probably this year we have Novaring too, and these were acquired assets. Just wanted to understand the amortization impact on the P&L.
So that can only be evaluated when we launch a product. So Novaring will have to wait and see, you know, at that time what is the price and what is the, you know, how many, what is the likelihood of any competitor coming in and how this thing is going to be modeled. So we cannot answer at this point of time.
Suboxone, sir?
Suboxone, as you see that we have already launched twice in the market, and there has been some revenue and profit coming out of that. And also there is a bond which is there in the court. Of course, there is a legal process to, you know, go through that, and we will be making some claims. So we'll have to wait and watch.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on Duwada, we have received approvals. I mean, the approval of the site, but when do we start seeing the approvals of the ANDAs?
You started to see, for example, daptomycin that we recently received approval.
So of the 30...
Go ahead, please.
Of the 30 which you are saying, the deal which we have done, so those will need tech transfer, so that will take some time.
So you're asking about 30 launches for next year?
Some of them will come from the FT079, absolutely.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on pegfilgrastim, if you could just give an update.
So we are waiting for Fresenius. From our side, everything is ready to go. Naturally, it's all in Fresenius' hand, and they need to determine the time that they want to launch the product. For us, it's primarily that once they will launch, we will get our share out of that.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of approval time frame we are looking at?
I don't know to tell.
It's not yet filed, sir.
No, I understand that, but I mean filing and approval time frame just very broadly.
Filing should be in months, and within a year we should get approval.
Understood. Great, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Nimish Mehta from Research Delta. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to know, now that we have Duwada cleared, you know, how many injectable, high-value injectable approvals we're expecting next quarter for the next 12 to 18 months, other than the ones that we know, like Padma. So do we have a bunch of that that might come in the next 12 to 18 months? Some ballpark would be helpful.
Some of the products have been site transferred, and we are getting approvals from the transferred sites. We're going to take them back to the WADA as we continue the process. But there are significant number of approvals pending, and as the inspections happen, they'll be cleared. We can't give you an exact number.
I see. But is it fair to say that there might be 3 to 4 ones which will be complex injectables
Yes, between 7 and 9, there are certainly 3 to 4.
Sorry, between?
Between the two sides, the onco and the non-onco side,
right.
Certainly 3 to
4. Right. Okay, which can come in the next 12 to 18 months, right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Sarang Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. You've been working on this Octopus acquisition on long-acting injectables. Have you made any progress on filing for any of those products?
We filed some products, but some of the products are still in development. Some of these are very, very long development cycles as well as clinical development. So some products have been filed and some are in development. We also work on a range of different products.
Okay. Is there any timeline you have, like by when you think this can potentially be
filed? When we file, we will let you know. We don't discuss.
We launch.
If there's a litigation, we will disclose. Okay. Most of these will have some litigation.
Okay. And so just one the last question on from my side on the Revlimid settlement in Canada. Can you just give us the size of the opportunity and what's the timeline roughly when you expect to launch the product?
So what we disclose in the press release is that we settled and we got a one-time of $50 million as part of that settlement in order to settle all the claims, but we are not going to disclose the date of launch.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. We have one last question. The last question is from the line of Kunal. Please go ahead. Kunal, you may go ahead with the question. Seem to have lost the line for Kunal. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Aditya Khemka from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Just the one on the PHAI segment. So we are seeing the growth and, coming through after some time. And in the past, the segment has been quite volatile in terms of the growth that it has delivered. So how would you see the trajectory of the PFA segment going forward in terms of growth, especially now that China basically has supply constraints? And what is the capacity situation there and how would you augment the capacity?
So we see PCI as one of a key space for us and one of the six spaces that we discussed them in our strategy guidance. This is a very, very important space for us. And we do see also a tailwind that out of China, as there is a bigger demand as a result of the changes in China. We are growing partially as part of that and partially because we do focus on it and give better service. We believe that this business will be much, much bigger in the future. We are now ramping it up and developing more drug master files, submitting more, giving better service. As I mentioned, we recently launched our service programs, and overall, we believe that we will come back to where we have been many years ago. As it was a legacy business for us, and we are planning to come back to a leadership position in API.
Capacity is not a constraint for us here.
Okay, can I have some flavor on the capacity utilization levels as of now?
And that's a difficult question to answer because we are in the process of network rationalization. You know, during the year we sold one facility, we are modernizing our facilities. But overall capacity is not the limiting factor for us today.
We have capacity for our growth, and at the same time that we are growing the business, we are also focusing on cost and cost optimization, and naturally we will match whatever the market needs in the right cost.
Okay, so sorry, the second question I wanted to ask was on CAPEX, capital expenditure. What is the budget for next year and where is it going to be spent on? Thank you.
So there will be lesser need than the current year. So this current year we have spent around 700 crores. So this could be the outer limit. It could be lower than that.
And where is that money being spent on, Swami?
Again, there will be across various kind of facilities. Some will be on a routine CAPEX. Some will be very specific one which we have started and we need to complete during this year.
Okay. How much is our maintenance CAPEX?
It will be maybe broadly 15-20% of this will be routine CAPEX and remaining will be specific.
Okay. Thank you. All the best, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Amit Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for the earnings call. In case of any further query, please reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Reddy's, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.